You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out. This is a special edition show of Avengers Age of Ultron. This is heavy, heavy spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, do not listen to this, because we are going to go super in on this movie and talk about any and everything that happened, post-credits, recreators, whatever. We're going all the way. So I'm telling you right now, this is spoiler heavy material. With that, joining me today is Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you, sir? Okay.
I am doing great. Having some technical difficulties operating the computer. I'm doing awesome, and I'm ready to dive deep into this movie. You ain't gonna like it, but you're gonna learn today.
All right, there we go. Mr. Sean Hill, how are you?
I'm doing well despite my voice.
All right. And last but not least, Mr. Q-Storm, how are you doing, sir?
It sounded like Amp brought some of that good shit back and gave some to Sean. That's what it sounds like.
That sticky icky.
That's, I think Diana just put on the messenger, Amp's taking time in between spliffs to do the show.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get into Avengers Age of Ultron. We did our reviews. Some of us liked it. Some of us was okay. I want to talk about the events that happen within the story of the movie and how that plays or doesn't play into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm going to go to Sean Hill. You had said that you watched the other MCU movies before you went right to go see this one. So with all of that knowledge, then you came into this one. How did you think this movie played?
I thought it played fairly well. I enjoyed it. It wasn't great. It didn't exceed my expectations. I went in expecting to like it, expecting it to be good, and that's what it was. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 4. I gave the original 4 stars, which I may have been a little too kind to even that one. The moments and the beats that I like the quiet moments a little bit more than the action scenes. I like them going a little bit more into Hawkeye and Black Widow and Hulk. I like their quiet moments together. As far as watching all of the other movies and whatnot, I didn't think it was not necessary. So there you go, Q Storm. But I still didn't mind going back and watching those other movies.
I didn't say a thing.
I could hear you smiling over there.
Oh, it's gonna come back.
But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it did not exceed my expectations. It met my expectations. That's not a diss. That's not a slight. It did what it was supposed to do. It was highly entertaining. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, that's what you go to these kind of movies for.
All right. Well, let's talk about the beginning of the movie. So it quickly starts with
right into the action.
Not much setup. They're going to assault the was it Stryker? Was that the guy's name? Bourne?
Yeah, Strucker.
Strucker. Where he has the twins, which are
Pietro Maximoff.
Okay, they're not named that in the movie, so I'm going to say Quicksilver.
Yes, they are.
Well, I mean, the audience, I didn't remember him saying that. But they're known as Quicksilver, right? And the girl's Scarlet Witch. Now, I thought that when they just showed them again, almost like if you didn't see the Winter Soldier, that little bit at the end, you kind of like, who are these people? You know, just real quick. I mean, again, it assumes you've seen everything, which is cool. But, you know, we get right into the action and we start to see the Avengers obviously are doing their thing. What did you guys think of just that initial jump right into the action sort of thing?
Well, I can tell you for me, I like that because we didn't have to spend 20 minutes on the Hulk is here. Black Widow's here, Thor's here, Captain America's over here, you know, and then, oh, let's get together. You know, we're bam, right into the action. You know these characters. They know you know these characters. Let's not waste, you know, precious screen time having them separated and then get back together. You know, let's get it on. And I did like the fact that we just jumped right into it. No build up, no character intros.
Anybody else?
Yes. I'm going to, y'all can throw rocks and stones if you like, but Mike, you said it on the preview show, the no spoiler show, that you comparing this, you were going to compare this at some point to Captain America Winter Soldier. And let me do that right now. If you recall, the first action set piece was Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D. taking on that ship where your, what was the guy's name? Batroc was on. Batroc was on.
Yep.
If you guys remember, the they didn't take a half hour. They took maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes to give you some exposition, and then that shit was off and popping. What would be wrong with that here? And Mike, you bring up a good point. What would be wrong with giving us a little bit of a setup, 5 minutes, just give us 5 minutes, and just kind of restate who the twins are?
Well, sir, to be fair, had you been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you would have got all the setup needed.
I have been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What's that got to do? I don't remember.
I didn't watch it, but I did hear the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. somehow tied into this movie. I don't know what it was, but
yeah, they identify where Strucker is, and Coulson is talking to Maria Hill, and they say, "Send in the Avengers."
Well, I'm not on the last episode yet because I got back. I have to get caught up, but I understand they're making trying to do a a strung together universe. I forget the word.
Synergy. Synergize.
There's a word that people are using, a connected universe with TV. I just don't think that's fair to do that to people who may not have time to see the TV show before they go into the movie. Plus, the TV show, I like it, but the ratings are down. That means a lot of people aren't watching. So give me 5 minutes.
I like it both ways. I agree with some of what you're saying, but then again, I have to respect that. I like that they have the balls to say, you know what, we're going to tell this story, and if you're not paying attention, then that's your problem. I mean, the story is out there. You just haven't been looking for it. So I do kind of like that they can do that. I just feel like if you are going to do that, then the shit that you are presenting has to be on point, like, you know, exceptional storytelling. And I don't think this is necessarily exceptional storytelling. But again, it's a fun, more of a fun movie than it is, you know, exceptional storytelling.
I'm just saying this. I don't want to hog the floor, but I just think it's a dangerous precedent, because I see this as corporate filmmaking. So now you're saying your story, as a filmmaker, you don't have to tell a story that has all of its parts. You're going to make me have to look at that. It's like filmmaking for profit, because the only reason they're doing that is so they want to make money off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., want to make money off. Right, but that
Matrix that, did that. Star Wars is now doing that. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at. How was what?
But isn't that the point, though, of the Avengers, is to, you know, again, put them all together that way? I mean, we get the backstories in their individual movies, right? So when we get them together, do we need more backstory? We already know who they are.
No, you're not following what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying whatever they built up in the cinematic universe, fine. If I go to see Avengers and I go see Iron Man, Iron Man 2, or whatever, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, whatever other films in the interim to the next Avengers, fine. I can see you making that case. But now I got to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to know what's going on in the film? That's not – I think it sets a bad precedent overall.
Well, it's already been set, though. This is not the first to do it.
Let me finish. I think it sets a bad precedent overall for the craft of filmmaking, whether it's the most schlockiest B-grade sci-fi action, it's still a craft of filmmaking, and this smacks of corporate interference to me.
And it may be, but all movies are probably corporate interference, at least the big budget ones, right? I'm just saying that for the most part, though, I can appreciate them doing it. Again, I think this is the world we live in now where they're doing it. I remember when The Matrix was one of the first movies to do that. They had the movies. They had the video game where they had the scenes shot specifically for the game with the main actors in the game tied into the movie. They also had the Animatrix, right?
Did I need to play the video game or watch the Animatrix?
Well, no, I'm just saying there were things that happened in those things that played into this. and they move back and forth. And if you didn't know that, then you might not have necessarily understood some of the things that are going on. You maybe even question it. But I'm just saying it's been done before. Disney is doing that with both of its big properties, right? They're doing that with this, the Avengers, and all the Marvel stuff. Again, we have great stuff like the Daredevil, which probably to its benefit doesn't play as much into it, but it does. And then you have things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which isn't as good, but it still plays into it. And then you have these movies to play with it. And I agree with you. I think it can be dangerous. And then one of the questions we talked about on a show a while ago, and even Josh Wheaton started talking about this, the whole thing with Coulson. You know, it's sort of confusing. Josh Wheaton is one of our interviews saying, oh, Coulson is dead, as far as what I'm doing. But at the same point, is he not the guy who wrote the first first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that brought Coulson back? And so what story are they telling?
But Mike, I'm saying, and I'll move on, or I'll let it go. At no point in any of those franchises, Matrix or any, or even up until this, did I ever feel like I had to have looked at something else to know what was going on within the boundaries of that universe of that film.
Right. Well, I can agree with what you're saying. I guess I just think that that's the way they're going. I think they're doing that heavy with Star Wars, right? You had to see Rebels and tie into this, and then they got the 13 other books coming out before the movie comes out this year. I think that's just, they want it to be like that before the fact that they can make money off of all of this stuff. I think the whole reason why they're doing these Marvel movies is to make money.
I think you're blowing it out of proportion. I mean, they started off with them attacking this this compound, but they gave us an explanation of what they were doing there in the midst of the battle.
Well, I understand, I'm not saying that they, and we're kind of on different paths here. The one path I'm saying is that someone brought it up. If you hadn't seen the very end of the Winter Soldier, and if you hadn't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you wouldn't know who the twins are. That's one track. I think that's a little irresponsible. That's just my opinion. The second track is what you're dealing with now. They did explain what was happening, but it was so fast, I think it got a little lost. I'm just saying that in Captain America Winter Soldier, we had the setup while they were heading to the mission. It took 5 minutes at best, and it created the stakes for the mission. Here, we just plopped right down in the middle of everything, which works sometimes. But, I mean, it's so fast, it's like I don't have a chance to digest anything. What are they doing? I had to learn along the way. That's just me. I thought it was a little bit too fast, as I did a lot of things that happened in this film.
Well, you know, we'll move forward a little bit. But I think the thing we have to remember, too, is unlike Winter Soldier and this individual movies, this is a movie that has all of these characters in it. And it almost doesn't have a choice but to, you know, move sort of quickly, and you're still trying to give each person their little moment, right? You're still trying to sort of play into what we know of the past and push them forward. So on one hand, because of the nature, I think, of what this movie is, it has no choice but to either be that 3-hour movie, which I thought would have been a mistake, or, you know, truncate it down, and some of this shit is not going to probably play. But I think that's the reason why this movie is just a, to me, this was just a comic book movie.
It had
comic book logic, and it had comic book terms of events where some of this shit didn't make sense to me, and the people just showed up someplace. But it had to be that way, because this can't be Shakespeare, because there's too much shit going on here. It would be too long.
Yeah.
But Ocean's 11 had 11 characters. They did it. Reservoir Dogs had, what, 5-6 characters?
Sure, but each one of them doesn't come from their own sort of movie, and they're not iconic characters.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it does, actually. There's nothing ever been done like this, where they're all stars of their own movies, and they're all iconic characters from literature or, you know, from other stuff that we know, and they're trying to jam everything into this movie.
I don't know why it matters that they all had their own movie. You just spent 5 minutes telling me that you already know the characters. So why do they?
No,
have
I
to
said
have...
the movie assumes you already know the characters.
Right.
So I'm saying if you don't know them, then it's going to feel like, whoa, what's going on here? Because it's just going so fast.
Yeah. Now, is anybody actually going to this movie that hasn't already seen the other movies and doesn't know who the characters are? Though, I mean, seriously,
I will say my girlfriend walked out of this movie. It was a little too much for us. It's just like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm saying this, that there's a difference between knowing the characters and but knowing what the situation is. That's what I'm talking about. I know the characters fine and good. Yeah, I'm riding with that. Fine, I know the characters. I don't know what the fuck they're doing is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, every James Bond movie starts out with a, you know, action set piece at the beginning that may or may not be related to the overall film. I saw this as really
every one of those opens, they kind of give you a little bit of exposition before so that you know what's going on.
Well, I think you know what's going on. Again, like Ampu said, I think they sort of tell you what they're trying to do. It assumes you know what that shaft is, right, and why they're trying to get it. They sort of set that up. Again, I just said, if you had known nothing about the last Captain America movie, you may sort of try to wonder what's the significance of the twins they keep mentioning in the kind of show for a second, until they sort of sold, oh, they have some powers too. You know, they just jump into the battle. But I just felt like without that, you didn't really know what that was all about. In terms of the Avengers jumping into the action, I thought it was good. I mean, you got to see them doing their thing, which is fascinating. You know, it was a kick. I mean, the whole, you know, we talked about before, that whole moment where they jump into the screen. I mean, that was brilliant. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is action now, shit.
Well, question I do want to ask of Q-Storm, because I'm curious of his answer to this. What do you think of the glorified cameos, for lack of a better word, of Idris Elba, Anthony Mackie, and Don Cheadle? Do you think they were given
Shrift.
Shrift, sorry.
I didn't mind that. To me, that was an element that made it feel like they were going all out to make this all one universe. I didn't mind that at all.
Oh, okay. I just figured you'd get your conspiracy brother on, since the three of them were...
Oh, because they...
were underused.
I thought they were fine, personally.
I understood that.
I would have... Go ahead, sorry.
I understood they were just cameos, so I didn't have a problem. I would have liked to have seen more of Falcon.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying, too. I would have loved to have seen more of Falcon, because he was such an important part of Winter Soldier. And here it just seems like, oh, remember me? I'm part of this world, too, and I may be important later, but I'm just kind of here as a placeholder. And, you know, and anytime Cheeto is on the screen, you know, something always important to me is going on. I love this little joke that he kept telling that, you know, the Avengers didn't get, but then he told it again later. I like that little moment. But again, it just felt like he was in the movie just because he was in the Iron Man movies, and he didn't really, really serve a big purpose here other than to, you know, again, be a placeholder for the next film, because obviously he's going to be an Avenger, I guess.
What do we think about Ultron as the villain, and compared to the other movies?
Sucked.
I thought he was interesting, and I kind of got into this in my review a little bit. This is the third AI movie I've seen. Well, I think you've seen all three of them too, Mike. Chappie. Go ahead and say the title, because I can't pronounce it. The title of the the female one. Thank you, and this one. So. I love the voice, right? I love Spader's voice work, but I thought he was a little bit too stand up comic ish sometimes to me.
Agreed.
There were too many little jokes and quips and whatnot that to me it kind of took away from what he could have been. That's
you know what you're pointing out now. You're again pointing out my decree of corporate filmmaking, because what they said was, let's imbue him with all the elements that Loki had, because everyone loved Loki. And Loki was, he started off a badass, and it's, the more the movie went along, he became a pussy. And he became weak. And the way that they got rid of Ultron in this movie is exactly the same way. It was just a laugh. What Hulk did with Loki in the first one, that's exactly what happened in this.
Wait, what happened to Ultron that was comparable to what Hulk did to Loki?
At the end, when Loki is making his last stand, and Hulk just grabs him, boom, 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 and the crowd loved it. I thought it was
okay. Ridiculous. So how did that happen to Ultron?
I'm about to explain it to you.
Okay.
Sure. So after Ultron, this badass robot, or synthesoid, not synthesoid, android, turns into a crypt, and just starts trying to shoot the Avengers with a rifle from a jet. Hulk jumps up, if I'm not mistaken, Hulk jumps into the jet, and Ultron says, "Really?" And Hulk throws him out of the jet.
I don't think that's comparable.
It was a laugh. He was dispatched with a laugh. It was meant to be funny. And I think Ultron, the character I used to read in the comic books in the 70s and 80s, I think he should have been much more of a badass than that.
Q, you're right.
Are you just...
I'm being honest. You're right. The issue that I have with Ultron is he doesn't come off as the threatening menace that he is. And I think that has more to do with James Spader playing the voice than the writing. Because James Spader, he has that... I mean, if you watch Blacklist, if you watch Boston Legal, he has that snarky demeanor, that snarky personality. So they wanted, since they had James Spader, I feel like they felt they had to imbue, you know what I mean?
Imbue.
They brought that into this movie.
Brought that into Ultron's personality because, well, if we have James Spader, he has to be snarky and have a few one-liners. So I think that was the issue, but because he never came off as menacing as he should be. And since we're going to go into it, I think they rushed the creation of Ultron as well as the motivation of Ultron. And one of the things is they did it a few times where he started taking on the personality of Tony Stark, which is true to the comic book character in the comic book he was made by Hank Pym. But as time went on, Ultron, because he shared a lot of memories of his creator, he took on the personality. And they mentioned that a few times with Ultron, but they didn't really key in that Ultron, his motivation and some of the things that he was doing was because he was trying to be better and replace his father, quote unquote, Tony Stark.
But can I just, want to ask a simple question. I'm jumping ahead here. The moment I said, this is so fucking ridiculous, it was when Ultron started. Ultron. We're talking about Ultron, right? The baddest, I'm going to say Terminator, robot in Marvel Comics, as far as I know. He's shooting bullets at the Avengers. Really?
Well, I'm okay with that in a sense because, I mean, he was wounded. I mean, he only had one body left and it was malfunctioning. So yeah, I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about that. So you mean this is Michael Dean. I expect to hear him make a comparison to Dark Knight Rises because you mean to tell me how you said, oh, so Batman beats Bane just by getting pumped up like Rocky and fighting harder.
Right.
You did tell me throughout the whole film, all they had to do was get the Vision and get Thor to shoot lightning at him, get the Vision to shoot the mind gem at him, and they could have beat Ultron? That's all it took?
I don't see. There was a combined. It was Iron Man, Thor, and the Vision shooting. First of all, Vision stopped him from assimilating his program outside of the bodies that he had made. So that was part of the thing. That's why they got the Vision. And then
do with what I'm saying.
I'm just saying the reason why they were able to take him down was because he was trapped into these bodies. Whereas before
I don't know what you mean.
Let me say this.
In the beginning, doesn't Thor just destroy one of the bodies? I mean, nobody can fuck with Thor. Thor was killing him, but the only thing was Ultron could just jump to another body through the internet, right?
Right.
So Vision comes in and takes that element out. Says he's trapped in the body he's in. Now again,
bodies because he can jump. He was able. He was all of the robots that were there. He could be in any of them. Okay. But he couldn't go onto the internet and get away from that.
Right. But he wasn't. I don't know if this is what Q's saying, but to me, I just thought through the whole movie. I never felt that he was a real threat to them at all.
All I'm saying is, I don't know what y'all talking. All I'm saying is that are you telling me that the only thing that it really took to defeat Ultron was for Thor, the Vision, and Iron Man to shoot rays at him?
Well, yeah, they could destroy any of his bodies. That's why he was trying to get
I thought Ultron was made out of, not anime.
No. He was, remember, he was building the Vision. He was building the Vision. Right. He was going to be in the Vision's body, but that didn't happen. So all those robots can be destroyed.
But that's not what I got out of the film.
I'm sorry, you weren't paying attention.
I'll tell you what I got out of the film because the fucking thing was moving so fast. if I missed some stuff, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
My understanding was that Ultron wanted to evolve humanity. I remember the line, evolve. Banner says he wants to. Oh, yeah. Banner saw a picture of a butterfly when they were at Hawkeye's instant family. Well, I don't know where that came from. And he said, Ultron wants humanity to evolve.
Right. You know, when they showed that, I thought he was going to say Ultron wanted to do a butterfly suit or something. I was like, what the fuck is this picture? What? When they showed the butterfly thing, I was like, "Is some? Oh, he's going to make some sort of butterfly armor or something? Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?" Just all over the place for me. Go ahead.
Okay. So then my understanding was that Ultron was creating this new robot body, and they got the Japanese scientists to graft flesh onto the body because that was going to be his version of humanity. Not that he wanted to get into it himself. And so I'm not sure.
I think he did. He did want to put himself in the Vision body.
Yeah, he was going to put himself in that body.
That's
what
he was uploading himself into it.
Yeah.
Well, why? That makes absolutely no sense.
Why? What? How does it not make any sense? He went to get the vibranium because that's the most indestructible metal on the planet. So if he puts himself into it, it'd be hard to destroy him.
I thought Ultron himself was vibranium.
No,
I don't think they said that.
In the comic book, he went and got vibranium and made him this new body, which is what he was trying to do in the film.
Okay, well,
all
right.
But all the robots before he was going to make the Vision body, they were easily destroyable. That's why he went and got the vibranium, because he was going to make a whole new body, a new humanoid-ass body. And it was going to be made from vibranium, which would be indestructible, so he would be able to be solely in that indestructible body.
All right, so answer me this question, because maybe I need to educate. I'm going to go see this movie again because my son is demanding I take him. And I'm looking at him like, I will give you $100 rather than take you to this movie. But if that's the case, why is it that there's that scene where Iron Man is getting ready to score off with Ultron, and he rips off his outer shell and becomes bigger? Why does he make himself bigger if he just wants to get into this new body?
Wait, Ultron ripped off his outer shell?
I remember there was a scene where Iron Man is about to fight Ultron, and Ultron rips off his metal exterior, and a new Ultron emerges even bigger.
I think that was when he had Scarlet Witch captive, and he was about to hit her or something, and he ripped his thing off, and he comes out bigger, remember?
And then Iron Man says, what, have you been juicing or something?
I mean, I'm saying the part where he rips himself was when he was a Scarlet Witch, not when he was with Iron Man.
Okay, all right, maybe I got that wrong. All right, so if he's going to go into this humanoid body, why is he bothering to make himself bigger?
Well, again, at that point, they had already stolen the Vision body from them.
So he had to create a new, more formidable body.
What was wrong with the old one? What was wrong with the one at that point?
See, if Big Sexy was here, he'd be so mad at you. Ultron is always evolving. He's always evolving his body. I think he's like on like he's the like number 300 body or something. He's always doing it, and you saw that's what he kept doing.
So why, if he can do that, why would he want to get into this little humanoid body?
Because it was made out of vibranium, and he wanted to be.
So why not make his own body out of vibranium? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think you need to watch the movie again.
They do kind of show what he was trying to do. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think the movie doesn't.
You're explaining what he's trying to do, but I'm just saying it makes no sense.
He used the mind gem with the vibranium and that biological writer printing thing that she's doing. It was going to become close to human. And on top of that, since it's made out of vibranium, it would be indestructible.
Right.
And then he ends up killing that lady. And the mind gem is gone along with Vision. So he can't make what he wanted to do anymore.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, so he can't make that body that he wants. So I guess all he can do is just keep making new, more powerful, stronger robot bodies, but they're not indestructible.
And remember, because he took all of the vibranium to make the Vision's body. Listen, so he didn't have any more vibranium.
Listen, all I'm saying to you is that we can, maybe that was, I'll go see it again, and maybe I missed that, but I'm just saying it doesn't make sense. To me, that's just trying to come up with a way to get the Vision into the story, because if Ultron can make himself bigger and badder, then I don't know why he wouldn't just have the Japanese woman create a coating of vibranium for himself. I don't see the point. Why would he? Why does someone who wants to eliminate the world of humanity want to put himself in a body that's humanoid? Does that make sense?
He didn't say, you said he didn't say he wanted to eliminate humanity. He wanted to evolve it. So again, I think that's what he was trying to evolve humanity by using making his body like that.
Mike, here's what I'm saying. He wanted to evolve humanity by wiping out the humans that were on the planet and creating his own humanity by creating the android that became the Vision. Right. He wanted to populate Earth. That's what I got out of it.
And then you just asked the question of why didn't he do that again?
No, you're not. Let me. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking, is that what you said or didn't say? I'm not clear.
Let me say it again. My understanding of the plot was that Ultron wanted to wipe out humanity and put an evolved humanity on the planet. And he did that by getting vibranium to create his own race of robots, the first one being what became the Vision. I do not remember hearing any dialogue where he said he wanted to put his mind into the Vision's body. I don't remember hearing that.
Okay, and that's what I think we're saying is it showed you countless scenes where he was plugged into that body trying to upload himself into it, and he wasn't successful, right? So he was trying to do that. There was a whole scene about that.
Okay, and I granted, and I'm saying that writing doesn't make sense to me, because why would an android who can make himself grow and be bigger, wait a minute, let me just ask the question. Why would he want to put himself into a humanoid body, when he wants to wipe out humanity?
He doesn't want to wipe out humanity. He wanted to evolve it, and his plot was to cause an extinction level event so humanity would be forced to evolve. Secondly, he was using the mind gem plus the adamantium plus that bio printer
type stuff.
Yeah, to make this new body that was going to be close to as human as possible. However, since it was made out of vibranium molecules, it would be indestructible too. So as a computer, as an android, he wanted to be close to human as possible, but at the same time be indestructible so he wouldn't die. I don't see how that's hard to understand.
It's not. Let's move on. Let's move on.
I didn't say it wasn't hard to understand. I'm saying it doesn't
make
sense.
Let's move on.
It
doesn't make sense. Let's move on to some other stuff in the movies.
To cover. One thing I wanted to address is something I think Mike, you may have said. I think Q also the length of the film and the character development. In this age of big blockbuster and every. Let's get as many showings in a day as we possibly can. I think it's limited what they could do in the story. I think it was Ant. I did feel that there's about, and maybe they're saving it for the, special edition Blu-ray. But I kind of felt that there was 40 minutes or so of footage left, on the cutting room floor for obvious reasons, the length. I personally didn't mind it being as long as it was. I would have actually liked to have, it to have been longer to get some more of those, quiet character moments. Again, the action was great and spectacular. That's all well and good. But, give especially, Falcon and War Machine, give them a little bit of, quiet time too. And, let's get to know them a little bit more too, since again they're obviously going to become important to the series moving forward.
I agree with Sean. I think that they sacrificed a little bit of character and story progression for the sake of the action scenes, which could have been definitely cut down, because as somebody mentioned, it's like, okay, we get it, you don't want to be Man of Steel, the heroes do try to save the people, but it was just like, it was just so much and overwrought.
Well, that's when you speak about they were saving people. I thought the whole Hulkbuster action scene, which I liked that scene, but it reminded me of Man of Steel. And in fact, they were just tearing shit up. I didn't feel like, they do sort of mention it when they're talking to Maria Hill, but I just felt like, what were the ramifications of them doing some shit like that? Because it's like, you never really saw what the rest of the world sort of thought of Ultron or what was going on. It just seemed like these guys are jumping all over the world on an international level. They went to Africa and some sort of Asian
Korea.
Korea. and they're just tearing shit's going on. But I was curious, since there's no shield, I was like, well, does the U.S. government or somebody, what is like questioning what the hell is going on? I think that was part of it. I mean, it doesn't matter, but I was kind of like, it seems interesting. Like they just can just nilly-nally do whatever the hell they wanted to do.
Well, I think at the end of the movie, I was trying to figure out, okay, Civil War, how does this set up Civil War? Because I was thinking Civil War, it should be some type of rift between Iron Man and Captain America. So I'm like, I don't see how does this movie set that up? However, which you just pointed out, how they all around the world, there's no shield, what were the ramifications of all this destruction? I'm like, oh, that actually makes sense. They could start the next movie with the world being upset at the Avengers and all the damage that was done, and then we need a superhero registration act. And Q was saying that as much as the I think you were saying that you liked the fight scene, but it made no sense. It had no impact on the story. And I think, and I kind of felt that way until the end when I saw that Banner, he ran away from the rest of the Avengers, and he was in that that shield jet that couldn't be tracked, and he just wanted to go away because he as Hulk, when he raged out because of the Scarlet Witch, he did kill people. And he just wanted to. He felt remorse and regret for it, and he went. He's gone into hiding.
Yeah, there was some people are saying that there was. I don't know how they got this information, but that scene actually had that plane going into space, but they cut it so it didn't. You just kind of see him fly away, which sort of kind of opens the door for the whole Planet Hulk type storyline. But talking about the Hulk was spot. You know, he was a surprise in the last movie, right? He kind of came in. He was funny and different stuff. How do you think they treated the Hulk in this movie, and even with the whole relationship with Black Widow, and what were they calling that, the lullaby or something? Where did that come from? I was like, what is this shit?
Well, you needed more time.
I, you know what? It's funny. I'm going to say this. I didn't mind the lullaby. I didn't mind that they did not explain that because they made it clear. And I have a problem with this, but it made it clear what the lullaby was that. Banner and Black Widow have been digging on each other for a while, or maybe in between films, they came up with a way to calm down the Hulk to turn back into Banner, which does raise a question. Can this dude control his changes or not? Because
right. In
the first movie, it's like he says, I'm always angry. Okay. But if you can control it, why do you need the lullaby? I knew what the lullaby was, but I'm like, why do you need it? And the other thing is, from a rudimentary level,
That's a good point.
The Hulk is not a good member to have on your team if you have to go through that every time he Hulks out. One, and two, damn, Banner, put on some stretchable clothes if you know you're going to change.
Well, yeah, it seemed like he's a loose cannon, that character. But it's funny, like, they show him, you know, she says at that one point early on in the movie, or somebody say, can they take out that bunker? And again, I guess he has the earpiece or something. He runs and, you know, runs
through.
Yeah,
the Hulk with the earpiece.
Right. I'm like, okay. I mean, it was cool. But the coolness of it eliminated the stupidness of, like, how the fuck does he know how to do that? And he can take direction? I was like, okay, he's doing shit. But then when they go off and show the other heroes, I'm wondering, where the fuck is the Hulk? Because that dude is just an uncontrollable savage. Like, what stops him from just running off? Tearing shit up. Like, how does she even go to him to do a lullaby? Like, he's gonna be all over the place.
That brings to question something I've had a problem with ever since Ang Lee's Hulk film, which I did like, by the way. What is the problem? See, in the Avengers back in the 60s and 70s, when the Hulk was an Avenger, I could be mistaken about this. If I am, please don't jump at me. But the Hulk throughout his career has been able to be intelligent. And as I recall in the Avengers, when, you know, the very first Avengers iteration, the Hulk could think. So my question is, first of all, why can't we see a Hulk that speaks? And why can't they make him intelligent? That would explain away all this stuff. Anybody disagree?
I mean, I think it would work. I think they've written themselves in the away from that by making him be crazy. Like, you know, I mean, he just changed and he's uncontrollable. But then again, sometimes he can take direction. It doesn't explain why they don't want to make him either way for some reason. And I wonder if that's why they don't make a movie on him, because they don't know, are they going to be trapped to try and make him intelligent and explain why is he intelligent?
Or I mean, if you're going to do a Fantastic Four, God help us, you know how I feel about that film. But if you can have the Thing talking. I think they don't do it because they think it wouldn't work. But if you can have the Thing talking on screen, why can't you have the Hulk talking? Why does that?
Well, I think you can't. The Thing has never been a savage uncontrollable dude, though. He's always been had his mind.
But neither has the Hulk. The Hulk, as I just said, he's been portrayed as intelligent, wearing glasses in his throughout
well,
his.
Well, to be fair, Q, those were changes. Those are things that have made that. Like when he was Mr. Fix-It, that was a mutation or some type of change that occurred where they combined Banner's brain with because I believe the Hulk has had several different personalities. There's been a Gray Hulk, there's been a Green Hulk. I think there's been a Brown Hulk. I could be wrong on that. So there was a change there. But I mean, this Hulk is he's like, I wouldn't say he's savage, but he's just very rudimentary.
Yeah, but I'm saying the Green Hulk has been intelligent in his comic book in the past. From the 60s to present day, they have scripted the Hulk where he has Bruce Banner's mental capacity.
Well, unfortunately, at this time, he does not have that.
I understood. It's obvious that's true. But my point is, why can't they? Why won't they?
Well, I guess they presented him as being crazy, so they don't. They would have to try and throw something in the mix to Banner's.
All that would have. Come on now. All that would have to do is a 30-second. I mean, you had in X-Men Days of Futures Past, you had Charles Xavier walking. They just said, well, because he's taking a medicine that takes away his powers, but he can walk. How long did that take to explain?
Again, like I said, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, again, they've written themselves where he goes either way, determined on whatever they need him to do. So it's inconsistent.
So they could write it where he can become intelligent.
They could. They could do anything, right? I'm just saying, I don't think that's why they haven't. Okay. And I don't think there's enough. There's not enough with that character. I think it takes away from how they've initially presented him as just when shit goes down, turn on the wild card type of dude.
I know,
and it works in that there's not a lot of attention given to that character. So if we can just show him just like this, it's more exciting. Just, oh, he's this guy. It's funny. He just comes in and tears shit up. Yeah. They're not trying to get deep.
I don't think it would hurt them if they did.
I don't think it would either. But I can understand why they're not doing that. I don't agree with it either. But I
mean, can you imagine the scene with Black Widow when Scarlet Witch goes into her head? That was one of the most compelling things about this film, seeing her as a dancer and being abused. Can you imagine if they did that with the Hulk, and maybe Scarlet Witch could have made him intelligent? That they could have explained it that way.
That
would have been a fantastic backstory that we would have seen. But.
All right, so let's move on to about Captain America, Iron Man. Now, let me say this: Captain America, that's my dude. Like,
he's
ass whooping. He's head character. They don't necessarily change him at all. He's the leader. That's the Cap. He's consistent from Winter Soldier. I loved how he was. If it was up to me, it was just more focused on what he had to be going on. I loved his action scene. On the truck, it kind of reminded me of the Matrix second movie a little bit, but I still thought it was badass. That dude, he puts it down. I thought he was presented very well in this. I liked the little scene with him in Iron Man at the ranch, whatever. Kind of shades into a little bit of what hopefully I think Civil War should be about. But I thought Captain was done well.
The one thing I do have a problem with is that they didn't really play off the ramifications of Winter Soldier. It's like, so they took down S.H.I.E.L.D. because Hydra infested it, but the Avengers are still together, but they're taking orders from Maria Hill.
They're taking orders from Captain.
But, I mean, who sent them on that mission?
Again, I didn't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so you'd have to tell me, because I don't know.
So, but that's what I mean. That kind of is an issue for me. But yeah. I mean, I'll let that slide.
Well, did she give him information of where it was, or did she send him on the mission? Because even when she first comes into the movie in that plane, she says something, boss or something. Tony Stark said, "Nah, he's the dude in charge. I'm just paying for all this shit." But they seem to follow what Captain was saying.
No, I understand Ant's question. He's saying. He's not asking who leads the Avengers. We know that's Captain America, but who do the Avengers take their orders from to go on missions?
I don't think nobody.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, because how did they know to go? Why were they going? How did they know to go to East Europe to look for a Baron Strucker for the scepter, which we knew at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday that Agent Coulson and his new revived S.H.I.E.L.D. found that information.
They but, I gave mean, I'm him saying, the information, that's what I'm saying, but doesn't necessarily mean they're taking orders. From, well, they don't even know he's alive, so.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that there's that kind of dilemma where it's like, okay, the last film that we know, Captain America helped take down S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. is in disarray. They don't. S.H.I.E.L.D. might be underground. Maria Hill is working for Tony Stark. But here at the beginning of this movie, the Avengers, sans S.H.I.E.L.D., are on a mission to go get the scepter.
And this is what I'm saying.
That kind of is it a bad.
That's the 5 minutes I was saying about when we started. What made Thor come back from Asgard? Why did the Hulk and in the first Avengers, Hulk and Iron Man, Banner and Iron Man, Tony Stark drive off into the sunset? What made them come back together? We don't know that. We're not supposed to know that. I mean, that's the 5 minutes I wanted.
All right, so Q.
Yep.
You're right.
Thank you.
I wasn't confused about that. I just assumed, based on what they said in the movie, that they had other adventures. They said they had other adventures, or they had been doing other raids or something. They do mention that. I just felt like they were. I assumed, because of what they said, they had been trying to find the Spectre thing the whole time, and those are adventures we just don't get to see, and we just have to assume the time had passed or whatever. But I didn't really question what they were doing. I just felt like they were doing their own thing, and Tony was just funding everything.
Come on, guys. But you, let me just say this. You got the Avengers, you've had the Iron Man films, you had the Thor films, you got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all tied in. We shouldn't have to assume shit.
Well, I assume from what they told us in the movie. They said we had been on numerous raids, and finally this one we found it. So I was like, oh, okay, they still have been the Avengers.
But
we just haven't seen it.
But who is the one providing logistics for these raids? That's the question.
Tony Stark, I guess.
Why would Tony Stark, who's a selfish, irresponsible, immature.
Well, I think his character obviously has evolved. He's provided them with costumes. They all seem to have upgrades, which I assume they got from him.
What?
Yeah.
They did.
You missed that with 2Q?
Didn't see they all had different costumes? They had Avengers written on the side? And you didn't see all the little gadgets that they all had? You noticed Captain had the thing magnetized. He didn't have that in the last movie.
The thing that what are you
his
talking
shield.
About?
Didn't you see that his part shield. Where
he had that? He had that in Winter Soldier.
No, he didn't.
He had magnetized. His shield was magnetized.
No, he didn't.
And as
no,
a matter didn't. Of fact, again, it's not explained in the movie, but I did see. I don't know where it's a press thing or something. There's a whole. I think it's on their website where it talks about how Tony Stark has invented all this stuff for each member, all the little different things that they have. Those new stuff that they show is from him. So he's been funding and doing. That's why he said, I've been funding and creating all this shit, but he's the guy that's leading this.
So you're telling me now, okay, I'll put aside that Tony, I don't care about that. I mean, fine. He's been creating all this stuff. I didn't see that. I know Captain America had a magnetized shield in Winter Soldier, but putting that
aside. He didn't.
No, he did not.
Okay, I will digitize the film.
There's a whole point they showed that in this movie when he did that. That was the reason why they did that little close-up of it.
Okay, man. All right. Fine. Go ahead. I don't think I am, but y'all can say I'm wrong.
I'm sure.
I'm not here to debate that. What I'm saying is...
Only the ones you can win, but that's cool.
Aunt Pooh has just said I'm right twice.
Okay, don't let it go to your head, though.
I didn't say...
Each thing is independent. But anyway, go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, I don't know why y'all keep interrupting me, but
wow.
what I'm saying is that that is not an explanation why Tony Stark would be the person who is coming up with all of these missions.
I didn't say he was coming up with the missions. Let me be clear. If I said that, I was misquoted.
Okay.
I'm saying that he is bankrolling their operations.
Obviously, he has the building.
He has completed the building, which they hinted in. What movie was that when he started working on that building? Is that Iron Man 3 at the end, I guess?
Yeah, but Mike,
the Avengers Tower. So that I'm saying is they're taking, I think the thing is they're not taking orders from anybody, and particularly Captain America. Obviously, if we watched his last movie, we know he ain't taking orders from nobody.
So how did they know to go to Sokovia?
Well, again, like Ant said, it's not explained in this movie, but Coulson told Maria, hey, I guess those guys are over there. And since she works for Tony Stark, she told him, hey, I think this is where the thing is. You guys should go over there and take a look at it. So again, they got the information, I guess, from Coulson, who they think is dead. And she just told him that she'd come up with it somehow. And then they're like, okay, we've been raiding all these other places. Let's go raid this place. It must be over here. Again, it going so fast, and they're not explaining a lot of things unless, I guess, you have to watch all this other stuff. I had no idea that Coulson told him that information. Now, you know, my issue is, why don't they even know he's alive? But again, they don't explain it.
Maria Hill, who is, I guess she'd be like number one to, what's his name, to Nick Fury. She's telling Tony Stark, who is a privately owned billionaire.
She works for him.
Hey, get, huh?
And she works for him.
Okay. We need to get the Avengers together so y'all can go on all these raids that have national security implications.
No, I don't think she told them go do all these raids. I think she must have told him the information about this particular place where they think that thing is. They never insinuate that she's giving them orders.
Okay. Aunt, does that make sense to you now?
It doesn't really have to make any sense. I'm just telling you what the movie said. I didn't say it made sense.
Okay.
It's popcorn entertainment.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They're not going deep. This is made to be cool and fun. And I think that's the only thing that saves this particular movie is that the shit just looks exciting.
Okay, but let me just say this. Sean, speaking more to you than Micah or Ant, but see, that whole thing about it's popcorn entertainment, okay, you can have that mentality, but you notice none of us are saying that this was as dope as Captain America Winter Soldier. And why? Captain America Winter Soldier played by its own rules. There were very little lapses of logic, and there were very few scenes where you said, well, how'd that happen? Well, how'd they do that?
Right.
Well, how did they know that?
I don't think that's a question, though.
Because, but that's what makes it a good film. So I'm just saying,
we all said it's not a good film.
Well, hang on. I'm in agreement with you. I think Winter Soldier is. I mean, it was on my top 10 list of last year. This movie probably won't make it. I mean, it was a fantastic film, but it did what it exceeded my expectations. You know. Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
This one, based on the first one, I knew was the first one was popcorn entertainment as well. So I knew going into this one that this was going to be popcorn entertainment. I would have liked it to have been Winter Soldier. I mean, I would like every movie to be as good as that. But I understood. That's why I said it met my expectations. It did not exceed my expectations. Therefore, that's why I'm giving it the same rating, although I know ratings are arbitrary. I'm giving it the same rating that I gave Winter Soldier. I gave Winter Soldier 3.5 out of 4. But I'm just not looking for as much logic, I guess, as you are. I'm overall, I want to be entertained. I mean, that's the overall goal of any film, and I was entertained by it. Knowing that it was lacking a couple of things in character development, that's fine. That's not what this movie wanted to be. And I accepted it for what it was trying to be, and that was popcorn entertainment.
So I guess my problem, I'll put it back on me. I'll put it on me. I guess I don't understand why it's wrong to expect that a movie be more than just illogical popcorn entertainment when it could be.
Well, every movie can be, but does it want to be? I think this movie, it stayed in its lane, so to speak. I often speak of that. A movie, it knows what it's trying to be, and it exceeds. Well, this one doesn't exceed, but it succeeds at being what it's trying to be.
Right, but Sean, I'm just saying, again, I don't understand the rationalization. I keep hearing this movie just was – it stayed in its lane and it was what it meant to be. Wouldn't you have rather seen a film that would have been great?
Yes. I just said I would have loved it to have been Winter Soldier.
I know, but
I wasn't expecting it to be Winter Soldier when I walked in based on the first Avengers film.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. I mean, it is just a summer popcorn movie.
I mean, I hate it.
It's built to entertain people, which I think it does dramatically well. Each time I saw this movie, people clapped. So I think it for people,
people
who
clap the Transformers. I don't.
Well, it was a very entertaining movie. Again, it's not a good. It's not a good movie by way based on what you're judging it on. But in terms of people just going to a movie event and want to have fun, this movie does provide that. I mean, obviously, it plays very well into that. So as I think the last Avengers movie does.
Well, let me say this too. I know Captain America, and I went back and read my original review of the Avengers, and I hadn't seen Captain America or Thor when I saw the Avengers, and I had remarked at how those were my two least favorite characters because I hadn't seen their origin films. Now, Captain America has gone from being my least favorite character to my favorite character based on the Winter Soldier. My expectations for Captain America, for the second one, were way low because I absolutely hated the first Captain America movie. I just thought it was rather lame and not interesting, blah, 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 blah. So I walked into to Captain America 2 with very, very low expectations, expecting not to like it, and it exceeded my expectations. It was better, way better than I thought it was going to be, and better than I thought it deserved to be. So when I saw it the second time not too long ago, it was even better than I remembered it. I mean, I still wouldn't upgrade the star rating, but
we're talking about Avengers 2, though, dude. Come on.
Well, wow. Can I finish my point?
Stay on target.
Habitual.
I'm getting there. Line stepper. On all the time.
You spent 5 minutes talking about
trying to shut people down. Let us speak, man. You've been going in all day. Come on now.
I'm gonna tell you, Q. I haven't seen you in person, but I've seen Sean in person. Don't get your ass whipped.
Huh?
Anyway, go ahead, Sean.
I'm just trying to do a long-winded explanation as to a film that what I was expecting to be, and again, it succeeded in being what I expected it to be. I didn't expect anything more. I would have liked it to have been more. I mean, obviously, of course. Who goes to a film not to like it? But it did. Yeah, true. That's true, actually. But it did what I wanted it to do. It entertained me, and I'm fine with that. The logic and stuff, I'll leave that to you guys. I was entertained. For instance, I didn't care, and we haven't really discussed it yet, but I think Ant mentioned it in passing. The fact that in the comics, Ultron is I guess invented is probably not the word, but whatever, invented by Ant-Man, right? That doesn't change the entertainment value of this film, knowing, having that knowledge, or you know, them switching it. I know this kind of gets into what we were talking to online about source material and all of that. But to me, again, that's something I've read people like criticize the movie for that. But it, for me, not knowing that information, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the entertainment value of the film at all.
All right, what do we think about this? The whole little thing with Thor, did that make any sense to anybody?
No. Nope. Which part?
Any part.
Any part.
Nope.
Aside
nope.
from when he's fighting.
No.
Like, what was his? I didn't understand what his vision or what he saw, what that meant.
I guess it was their way of tying in that, okay, we're into a larger scope story. That now he sees that the Tesseract, the Aether, Loki's scepter, and I guess the Power Gem are coming into the galaxy and making the Avengers and now the audience aware that these Infinity Gems are out here and this is not a good thing.
Was this the thing he had with the dream, or what a vision he had with the Idris Elba appeared in?
Yes.
Like he had to go jump in Lake Minnetonka to get some clarity.
I hope the brother got a good check for that.
God damn it. Michael D, now you know I'm going to have to go find somebody to make that.
But, you know what I remember, too, from that early trailer? Remember it showed, I could have sworn it showed a black woman getting into that water. Or something. Remember, there's a part where she like takes off her robe or something.
Yeah, it probably got cut.
Well, yeah, it did. I was curious of what that was all about.
Look for it on the special edition DVD.
I think when they got Spider-Man, they decided to put Black Panther to the back burner. They were like, okay, we gotta get rid of all the Negroes. Gotta get rid of all the Negroes.
Well, speaking of the Negro,
wait, can I give you my thoughts on Thor?
Okay. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
No.
I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm I was just playing.
I'm I'm sorry, guy. I am a little bit not emotional, but passionate about this because I not that I'm saying anything about me as a person or whatever, but this is the field I chose to work in. I'm not working anywhere near that level. I admit that, but this is the field I chose to work in, and it's like maybe it's a generational thing, but I'm seeing filmmaking change. Where back when in the day when I was going to see movies, even movies that were of a fantasy, sci-fi, action genre, there was attention to detail. Now it's just really? Throw it on screen and go with it, and that really pisses me off to a certain degree because I still want to like these movies.
Okay, what are you referencing?
Like, are you talking like the Beastmaster?
Well, it's called show what? What's business. The second word? Business. It's you ain't too far gone to see that yet.
All right. Well, are we going to say anything on Thor, or are we going to move forward?
I didn't. Thor was just one example of how I thought Joss Whedon completely jettisoned all of the good characterization and character portrayals that he created in the first Avengers. Thor in this movie was a big, hulking. He was like the big, stupid football player from Archie. He was comic relief, nothing more. And that whole thing about lifting the hammer, that was complete bullshit. If you're telling me...
I like that part.
I like that part.
Which part?
Of course.
Both of them.
Try to lift the hammer or, spoilers, Vision both. Lifting the hammer?
I say when Vision lifted that hammer, theater, both times I see it erupted, clapping. It was just like, it's awesome. In the looks and the characters and Thor's look on both times, even when Captain sort of nudged it and Thor was like, well, motherfucker, wait a minute. That shit was, I like that shit.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was cool and then I let Q kind of talk me into, you know what, that's not right. And then I remember the hammer's been lifted by Captain America, by Superman, by Better Ray Bill, and by a frog.
And by some woman now, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I'm okay that the a humanoid that's not really fully human, so it doesn't have the taint to not be worthy, plus possessing the mind gem, is capable of lifting the hammer. And I think the fact that he has the mind gem is what allows him to lift the hammer.
So explain to me what I missed once again, all right? You can explain to me what I missed once.
No, because you said that you thought that was bullshit, that he shouldn't be able to do that. And I kind of agreed with you until I realized, wait a minute, Captain America has been able to lift the hammer. Superman's been able to lift the hammer. Better Ray Bill has been able to lift the hammer. And the fact that the Vision is not a full human, thus he doesn't have, I guess, qualities that would make him unworthy, plus the fact that he has the mind gem, which I think is really allows him to lift Thor's hammer, I'm okay with it.
And plus, he was, as you say, he was just born yesterday, so maybe he hasn't done anything to be unworthy.
Can I make my whole statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Captain America.
I love how you do that.
Captain America.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm at the Oxford Royal stage of literature or whatever, okay?
Sir.
Now, you cut me off earlier. Now, you won't.
Crenshaw Book Club. Go ahead.
All right, that was a good one. And I apologize for cutting you off. Captain America has saved his country and the world many times before any of these other characters were even zygotes. Okay? That means before they were even sperm.
All right, Stephen A. Smith.
You mean Stephen Hawking?
Oh, Lord.
Anyway. And he has proven himself time and time again in the first Avengers and Captain America Winter Soldier. You're telling me he can only nudge the hammer, but this android who was imbued with Jarvis's AI, and when he first woke up, he attacked somebody, and he has this gem that was in the scepter, right? Which I thought was part of the Tesseract, but I guess I missed something there too.
No, it wasn't. That's something different.
Okay. I thought the scepter that they got from Loki, I thought that was part of the Tesseract. I thought that was part of the...
No, that was something separate.
Okay. So this android that attacks someone when he wakes up, he is more worthy of lifting... He can lift Thor's hammer and Captain America can't?
I could be wrong, but I could have swore that they attacked him first. And he defended
himself. When he first got... Thor jumped down and struck the thing with lightning. Right. I forget why he did that. It doesn't matter, right? He hits it with lightning, and then the thing explodes open, and he jumps up and attacks. I forget who it is. He attacks someone, and then after he does that, whoever he attacks, they throw him, and he starts floating and looking at the floating right in front of the window, and looking at the city, and then he comes back and says, "I'm sorry." This guy can lift the hammer?
I mean, he admitted fault. I mean, what more do you want? Damn.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think that is a problem. I mean, and I think you're totally discounting the fact that he has the mind gem.
Well, now explain that to me. I thought that the scepter that Loki had, that he was using in Avengers, was powered by the gem, which was a part of the Tesseract.
No. The Tesseract is something completely different. The Tesseract, I believe, is the space gem. I could be wrong with that. Which allowed him to go from one... Yeah, it's the space gem. It allows him to go from, like, pretty much go to the wormhole. Interstellar. The scepter is powered by the mind gem. Which is why he was able to control all those people.
You're saying that's what it was in the first Avengers.
Yes,
I completely missed that. I could have swore it had blue energy, just like the blue Tesseract had.
No, I mean, the scepter looked blue, but once they opened it up, it was a yellow gemstone in it. I don't know why. I don't know.
It says the Chitauri scepter was a Chitauri weapon that was powered by an Infinity Stone. The stone gave the scepter the ability to fire energy bolts and manipulate others. The stone has been in the possession of Thanos, who entrusted both it and the scepter to Loki of Asgard, along with an army of Chitauri warriors, under the condition that Loki travels to Earth to secure the Tesseract and prepare the planet for subjugation under his rule. So I guess they are two different things. Why Thanos would give him that to do that, I guess, whatever. But
yeah. So, but the other thing that I did have an issue with was the ending with spoilers, Quicksilver. I totally was just not into why did they create this character to die when they had a perfectly useless character they could have got rid of in Hawkeye.
Wow. You thought he was useless?
I'm sorry, Hawkeye, he hasn't done anything for me. I got into with Q saying that how come Jerry Renner is not in shape? He's not. Huh? He's not in shape. He does not look in shape. Compared to Thor and Captain America and hell, even Quicksilver.
He even said those dudes are gods, man. Thor's not human, he's a fucking god.
Okay.
And this other dude's pumped up on steroids, man.
All right, good point. But yeah, I just didn't like the fact that, you know, you created this character, you killed them all, and it's like I felt like they were foreshadowing and teasing that something bad was going to happen to Hawkeye because, you know, here's his family, here's his kids. And yeah. I'm just like, okay, kill him. I don't care about that. Kill his whole family. But spoilers, I'm hoping that the fact that they have introduced him in this movie means that in Civil War, they're going to kill them like they did in the Ultimates Volume 2.
Let me ask you guys a quick question. Which was the better Quicksilver?
This Avengers. Easily.
I like the look of this Quicksilver better, but I think the way they treated him was really stupid. There's no way that this guy could get hit by a bullet if he's fast enough to catch arrows and outrace a bullet.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I don't think they did anything with him in this movie. I mean, I even like the Flash on TV better. Presentation of powers than what they showed this guy doing. He didn't do anything to me. Like he didn't have a cool moment or anything. He just ran quick.
I liked him. I like his representation far better than the X-Men one. I think the X-Men one was just that one scene that people just blew out of proportion.
That was an awesome scene, though.
I love that scene.
That was a scene. Yeah. Was awesome.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't hate now.
But hold on. I was reading some. Which scene are you talking about?
The one in X-Men where he
saved. His one scene where he's running, you know, and he saves everybody.
That was bullshit.
Nah, that was awesome. You were crazy for that.
It was good, but I mean, as far as the character, nah, I prefer this version.
This guy doesn't, again, so I didn't understand, how did they get over Tony Stark?
Yeah, that was an issue for me, too.
How'd they get over, what do you mean?
Well, he made this whole thing where they watched their parents die or something from some Tony Stark made bomb or something like that. And that's why they wanted to go at him all the time. But they never confront him or never, like, show a point where they just say, you know what, Tony's not that bad. Or, like, it didn't. Why would they even introduce that into the story then if that was their motivation? And then they never explain how they get away. I can understand the girl having her little pep talk with Hawkeye, you know, if you go out that door, you're an Avenger. But I didn't really understand the boy when he's the one who verbalized, yeah, that's why we want to take down Stark because he killed my people.
Okay. Well, I mean, the reason is because, just like, you know, it's lazy screenwriting because, what's his name? Ultron says, they see what Ultron wants to do, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, let's go fight with the other guys. I mean, you didn't know this evil robot might have had evil intentions to begin with?
Well, I think, to me, their hate was for Stark and the Avengers, and it kind of plays into the Ultimates where they feel America has this ultimate team of heroes, and it makes them a super-duper power, so to speak. So they hate the fact that they're associated with Stark that has brought out his death and destruction because of his weapons. I mean,
and you see him throw that in the movie again for a quick second when they first send those robots to that country at the very beginning and people start throwing shit at it.
Yeah.
But then again, they never address it again. It's like there's some sort of hatred toward either America or the Avengers, but then it's never addressed again.
I agree. But I mean, yeah, that's probably what ended up on the cutting room floor. And so we can see Captain America and Peggy Carter and Hawkeye and his family, which did nothing for me whatsoever.
I didn't understand the whole Peggy Carter. I mean, I know who the character is, but...
It didn't play into anything with something like with Black Widow, her dream, it played into... We find out a little bit more of her psyche, and we find out that what that whole thing was is that they sterilized her. With Thor, he tells us about the Infinity Gems. With Tony Stark, it pushes him to create Ultron because I got to keep the Earth safe. But with Captain America, I'm like, what did it do?
He was just Cap.
Yeah, you know, Hawkeye drove him crazy and he killed people and it made him leave at the end of the movie. But Captain America was like, okay, so you gave us that, but it did what for the movie?
You know why? Because Cap is bros over hoes. And he was like, I ain't worried about that bitch. I'm going to fight in battles. Fuck that. You ain't going to get with my mind. So he was just the ultimate pimp. But
so what she's saying is, it ain't nothing for him to cut them hoes off, huh?
Apparently not, because he had no inner struggle. He was like, I'm back. I got a war to fight.
Hey, guys, can I ask you to indulge me just for a second?
Okay.
Can we back up for a second? I know I'm the hated one on this podcast. The way he said, okay, damn, what this nigga want now? Listen.
Yes,
let me just read this on Wikipedia, all right? This is from the first Avengers. It says here, Loki uses the Tesseract in conjunction with a device Selvig builds to open a wormhole above Stark Tower so that the Chitauri fleet can launch an invasion.
Okay.
Then it says, Selvig, freed of Loki's control, reveals that Loki's scepter can be used to shut down the generator. And what I remember is that the reason the scepter could do that is because the gem was energized by the Tesseract, and they were going to draw the energy from the generator into the gem, which is part of the Tesseract, which is powered by the Tesseract.
We'll just call it a plot hole. Let's just call it that. But they're two separate forces.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but you got to remember that they're Infinity Stones, so they can work in tandem.
I guess what I'm saying is that it was not clear to me that in the first Avengers that was an Infinity Stone. It was part of it was energized by the Tesseract, which is not an Infinity. Is a Tesseract an Infinity Stone? Maybe I got that wrong.
I think it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
And no one. Okay. I guess I asked these questions, Kurt. I'm cursed with logic. Call me the Mr. Spock.
You think that's what you think? All right.
Well, you said it was a plot hole, so it's illogical then.
There we go. So, okay, talked about Captain.
Can we talk about Black Widow and Banner's relationship, which makes no sense?
Why does it not make any sense? I mean, maybe she likes tortured souls.
Okay. Okay, you got Black Widow, one of the hottest superheroes on screen to date, and she's going to go for that guy?
Hey,
so why did they spend the whole time in the first Avengers making it seem like Hawkeye smashing Widow?
I agree with that. That was kind of, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, instant family. Hawkeye's got a pregnant wife and two kids, and she's like, yeah, honey, go save the universe. You might die, and you got me out here in the forest with no kind of support. But you go right ahead. I'm cool with that. Your wives be like that.
Hey, well, she knows what she signed up for. Come on. That's all I can tell you. She knows what she signed up for.
Yeah, man. Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm okay with that. The only thing it was is that they, at the end of Winter Soldier, they made you think that there might be something between her and Captain America down the road. And then we find out, oh, no, she's been smashing Banner all this time.
That's why I want to actually been smashing Banner.
That's the way I'm taking it. They kissed.
Yeah.
Well, they kissed.
Well, she better, like she better, first kiss.
She better tread lightly.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't get that dude excited, man. Tear them walls up.
My thing is, he going to win every argument. Am I wrong or right?
you're right.
Like you don't, she you go, really want to see me getting mad, babe? All right.
She gonna end up like the chick at Hancock.
Huh?
Remember Hancock?
The Will Smith. Will Smith.
Oh, okay. I was just... Hancock.
Not everything. Not everything. Innuendo, sir. Good Lord.
Hey, you just gotta be. That movie was like 5 years ago. Just what's the thing you're talking about?
Where he's having sex with a girl, and he's his. Explosions, like crash the house and stuff.
Wow, I don't even remember all that. I guess.
It was in the unrated DVD version.
Oh,
it was
okay. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Sean, comedy's tough, so it's all right.
Oh, uh-huh. Shots fired.
Whatever.
Okay, was there anything in the movie you did like?
You know what? I say I liked, just. If you put a gun in my hand and say, what did you like right away? I could say, I thought it was pretty cool, even though they all would have been reduced to masses of jelly. I liked when the train was crashing through the city and Quicksilver was getting everybody out the way.
Mm, okay.
I like the Hulk versus Iron Man fight. I love the fact that he called that technology Veronica. And Q, for just so you can get the joke, Bruce Banner's girlfriend / wife is Betty.
Yeah.
Veronica, Betty and Veronica, Archie Comics.
Okay, that's really clever.
Cricket. All right. I like the quiet moments, like I said in the other show. I mean, of course, I did like the action stuff, but I did like the small character beats. I liked the Don Cheadle moment with the joke. The hammer competition was hilarious. But yeah, I mean, everything about it was good. But definitely like those little quiet character moments.
You know what else I liked? I liked at the end Avengers First Class. I like that.
The Black now, Avengers.
Why did they cut Captain off before he said assemble?
Because they're trying to, they're holding that off. I'm sure that's going to hold off. They want to have him say that at the Avengers Infinity War. Because, you know, everybody's wanting them to say that.
Oh, gosh.
Lord have mercy.
It's called building to the, building up the momentum, sir.
What did you think of the Thanos thing at the end?
Dude, that was weak. That was total weak sauce. I'm just like, if that's what you're going to give us, you might as well not have done an end credit scene.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. And I sat, I don't know about your audience, Mike, and I didn't tell you since you didn't want to know anything about it, but we, you know, sat, of course, through the very, very end. And when the lighthouse lights came up, I thought there was going to be a Baltimore in there. People were like just pissed.
Well, they said there wasn't going to be anything at the end.
Well, obviously my audience didn't know that because the whole theater was still in the theater as the credits were running because they were expecting something at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. The little end thing, I think they teased the whole Thanos thing too much. Like, yeah, give it some sort of meat to it. I don't understand what.
Yeah,
I kind of know what he's doing, but if you don't know anything about it, it's just like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is this?
That was probably the worst one out of all of them that they've had.
No, the worst one would be the Howard the Duck one.
I kind of like that one.
Okay. I can't win. I can't. I'm old for what, 100 today?
Well, I mean, you know, it's Howard the Duck. I mean, it's cheesy, just like the movie was. I thought it was, like, fitting for him to be there. And, I mean, when I say cheesy, I mean in a good way. I don't mean a bad way.
Does this movie hype you to see Civil War?
No. Not really.
No.
The only thing that hypes me for that is, isn't the Russo brothers doing that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the only thing that hypes me for Civil War. And I'm still trying to understand, where was Black Panther? I'm just saying, my thing, that's one of the issues I had. So Hulk and Iron Man are tearing up, I'll call it, downtown Wakanda. And
well, did they actually say they were in Wakanda?
Yes.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's shocking to me, because I would have figured Wakanda would have looked like damn near Magic City or something. Like
Magic City?
No, you mean like these skyscrapers, like a very technologically advanced type of environment. That's why I didn't think that's where they were. But if that's where they were, that's whack.
Well, maybe they were in another African city. I assume they were in Wakanda because they had that very sepia amber wash over it, which every filmmaker, if you want to shoot in Africa, make people think you're in Africa.
I don't think they were in Wakanda because, again, from what I can know about Wakanda, you can't just come up in there. Like, they got that shit locked down.
Well, now playing the role of Q-Storm is Hill Street. You know, they already had three in there. You think they were going to put another one in there, too?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that was just a missed opportunity. It's like, why did you not?
They had reached their quotient, sir.
Maybe this had been shot before Bozeman was announced.
Yeah, what do you think of Ulysses
Claw? But the thing is that. But the thing is that most of Guardians of the Galaxy was shot, and they put in that scene with Josh Brolin as Thanos.
But he was already. I assume he was already slated to appear as Thanos.
No, he got casted, and they had already wrapped production on Guardians of the Galaxy, and they did that scene. That's why people were kind of complaining that, oh, he's just sitting there. It's like, well, that's because that was added after the fact.
What'd you guys think of Ulysses Claw?
They gave him more character development than Ultron, in my opinion. You got a nice little background on him. They cut off his hand, so you see how he's going to become the character he is. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of cool.
I didn't think much of it. I mean, it didn't. He was just a means to an end to get the story moving, as far as I'm concerned.
Honestly, I think it was kind of tacked on because I guess he's going to play a role in Black Panther. But I just thought that probably could have been taken away and just had Ultron going to a base stealing vibranium. I think that whole scene was a little tacked on.
Are you saying that he's going to be like the antagonist in Black Panther? I sure hope not.
Well, he's the main. He's main villain. Yeah, he's Black
Panther's main villain. I know, but that character. I do not want to see him as a major character in Black Panther. I didn't find him interesting at all.
I did. I thought he was kind of cool. He wasn't scared of nobody. He was like, hey, you going to kill me? Nigga, thrill me, huh? I didn't see that. You going to get in my head, bitch? You play some mind games? What did you think about the Scarlet Witch?
I thought she was really good. I love the use of her power and her tortured soul.
Her tortured soul.
Yeah, she was upset about all that stuff, about having a 2 day sitting there waiting to get killed by Tony Stark.
I'll say this. I'm very clear that I prefer these films to remain true to the source material. Having said that, I did like the way they used her powers, although I thought the mind stuff, it led to very slow and boring sequences. Even though I liked the Black Widow sequence, it just slowed the movie down. That power, I didn't see the need for it.
Do you think when she showed Tony Stark that whole scene with him in space, do you think that was the future, or that was like sort of his fear? Do you think that was something that actually happened? Because it was interesting when her face, when she started to see what he sees, she seemed to be scared of it or something.
Who, Scarlet Witch seemed to be scared of it?
Yeah.
To me, it was just a plot for the writers to create that power so that they could get start to create the artificial intelligence. Mm. That's all it was.
But speaking of which, here's a huge nitpick. So let me get this straight. You're trying to build an artificial intelligence to help protect the world, and you take all of 10 minutes to debate using alien technology as the basis?
Well, I'll go one step further. Why do they get so amazed that they found artificial intelligence when Jarvis has been in existence for how long?
Well, I think, no, Jarvis has been a program. I don't know about artificial intelligence.
They've called, maybe I don't know if they refer to him as artificial intelligence in the films, but I'm sure I've read on blog sites and comic book sites that they refer to Jarvis as artificial intelligence. He would have to be. Even if he's a program.
Unless he thought on his own, he'd be artificial intelligence, but I don't know if they ever actually really showed him
in the movies. Just as a small example, when Tony Stark gets out of the uniform, I forget what the scene was, but he tells the armor to go in sentry mode.
Right.
Well, he has to be able to think to do that.
No, he follows whatever the programming of sentry mode would be.
Okay.
When you tell your some, you know, when you put your phone into something, it's not thinking to do something. It's programmed to do that. You told it. You gave it a command.
Right.
It'd have been something different if, again, I'm thinking he is AI personally, but now that I think about it, I don't remember any parts of the movies where he comes to Tony saying we should be doing certain things. It seems like Tony Stark is always directing
Him to do stuff. Jarvis is a program.
Jarvis. Yeah, but an artificial intelligence would be part of a program. It's all programming.
No. Artificial intelligence would have its own thoughts.
Right, but you're programming something to be artificially intelligent.
No.
No?
That's not what it necessarily would be.
Artificial intelligence
would have its own thoughts in mind to do what it wants to do.
That's called sentience, then.
Yes, doesn't have that.
A computer that has artificial intelligence has been programmed to have artificial intelligence. It just doesn't develop. That's called life.
Good point. But
I don't know Jarvis if that's true. It sounds like it makes sense, but I don't know if that's the truth.
If you're saying something all of a sudden out of the blue develops artificial intelligence, that's life. That's not.
Was Skynet an AI? I'm just using movie logic because that's what we're talking about.
Skynet is artificial intelligence.
Was it programmed to be that way, or did it have its own awakening to do that?
It was artificial intelligence that went out of control.
Is it thinking for itself, or is it programmed to think like that?
How many questions are you going
to
ask me?
As many as I need to. You answer the question, nigga.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I want you to say your answer. Go ahead.
I'll say he ain't got the answer, Sway.
I didn't think so.
I've got the answers. You just don't want.
Well, I'm asking you to give me to. You don't know. You seem to want to ask me other questions. I'm asking you a question.
What was the last question?
Was Skynet, was he programmed to do what he's doing, or did he? Is it its own thoughts to do what it's doing now, to take over the world?
I said initially Skynet was programmed with artificial intelligence, and then perhaps the artificial intelligence evolved. Okay. But Skynet didn't just come to being one day out of the blue and say let's bomb the planet. That's called life.
Skynet is life. I've never heard him say that in the movie.
I'm saying that's life. That's why Skynet is not life. Skynet was programmed with artificial intelligence.
Okay.
It's not Mike.
Yes, sir.
I'll ask you, I think I know the answer, but ask it anyway. Which of the three artificial intelligent themed film this year is the best one best representation of that
of what we've seen so far? As like, Terminator I think is coming next, but
of the three that's come out, Chappie,
Ex Machina. Okay. Head and Shoulders. I mean, but that's it's a totally different type of movie, though.
Yeah, but I just, not the movie itself, but just the overall theme of artificial intelligence gaining quote unquote life and thought and free will and all of that. I agree with you. I think that was the best representation of that theme.
Yeah.
What did you think of that anyway?
I like the movie. It is a quote unquote a thinking person's movie.
Yes.
You definitely need to sit down and strap your mind in and get in. But I thought it was a really good movie because it's a very smart movie.
Yes. Yeah. I gave it's on the short list of the best film of the year so far for me.
Oh, wow.
I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah, it was good. As I said, the director was there, and they started asking questions, and they were going way deep into AI and transcendence and different things of that nature. But I find it interesting that this is also the guy who wrote Dread. You know, so he's a heavy action dude, and he also did 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good movie. I don't think everyone will like it, but I enjoyed it.
Not at all. Yeah. And I know kind of all the time, but the one thing that I liked the most was how low tech it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The story was the story, not the technology, not the effects and not the things going on around it. It still ultimately it was about those three characters versus the technology, which I really liked.
It was a character movie. It just was in sci-fi.
Okay.
All right, so Avengers. Oh, I also wanted to ask this. Aside from the Avengers, did they show the Star Wars trailer at your screenings? I'm just curious how people reacted to that.
No, they didn't.
Well, I never get trailers.
It was the same trailer that we'd seen online, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, they showed it when I saw it. It looked great in IMAX.
Yeah, I was surprised. It was in 3D when I saw it. But people, when the LucasArts thing came up, they were clapping. And at the end of it, they were clapping. I was like, damn, people are ready for some Star Wars, man.
Let me ask you, did they show the Terminator Genesis trailer where you saw it?
They did. The more and more I see that movie, even though it looks crazy, I have to see that for some reason. I got to see it.
I was going to say they put more footage in this trailer that I saw, and it made me want to see it less.
Of course.
They also showed the Batman. Let me tell you something, man. I know we go back and forth there. That movie looked bomb as shit on that big ass screen, though. I was like, God damn. I gotta see that.
And an alternative place you can see all these trailers is at hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Shameless plug.
All right. any lasting thoughts on. Well, let me ask this question before we can wrap it up. So, Marvel. You know, we've seen all the Marvel movies. We've seen the caliber of what they can do. We've seen them fall short. Where do you guys put this movie in the lineup of Marvel movies in terms of the best?
I would rank it the Phase 2 movies. I think it's the bottom below above Thor or Iron Man 3. Above Thor, The Dark World, probably like third. Winter Soldier's definitely the best. And then Guardians, this, Thor, and Iron Man.
Okay. What about you, Aunt Pooh?
Of the Phase 2, I'd put it behind Guardians of the Galaxy and Winter Soldiers, but above Iron Man and Thor. I think that's it, right? Iron Man 3 and Thor, Dark World?
Yeah.
However, overall, it's definitely behind Winter Soldiers, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Avengers, Iron Man 1, and Thor.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm liking Thor more the more times I see it, the first one.
All right. How about you, Q?
I put it right above. Well, Thor 2 is at the bottom. And now I can't remember all of the Phase 2 films off the top of my head, but I would put this pretty close, right up. It's fighting with Iron Man 3 and for the spot right above Thor 2 at the bottom.
Okay. I would go from top Winter Soldier, Guardians, this movie, and then the bottom then Thor Dark World, the bottom is Iron Man 3. I hate that movie.
I called it. Well, my wife called it Ironless Man. I thought that was kind of funny.
I would put Captain America: Winter Soldier at the top of the entire Marvel cinema catalog.
Agree.
Yeah, easy choice.
And I will say again, I don't know why it's I don't know why we shouldn't expect that caliber of filmmaking in all these films.
Well, I think you should, or you can, but I don't think Marvel is able to do that. Their track record will show you that they're not able to do that, right? The majority of the movies aren't that good. So
I would say majority. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not as good as Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier, good. That's their one shining star movie that you can't. I don't think nobody can talk shit about that movie. That movie is fantastic.
And I told you why I think that is, right?
I'm sure you did. There's no question why that movie's great. I mean, if you want to say what it is, go ahead.
It's because I think you ground something in reality, you have to play by a certain set of rules.
Okay.
And when you don't, all those rules go out the window. You throw any shit you want into the film, and you don't have to explain anything, and you end up with Avengers 2.
See, I disagree. Grounding a comic book property in reality, clearly Marvel has shown that you don't have to do that. It's a
Guardians.
Comic book.
Guardians is not grounded in reality.
Yeah, and it's just as good as a Winter Soldier. I actually put it ahead of Winter Soldier.
Well, all right. Well, sit now. Okay, hold on. Get ready. Open your ears up. You're right.
There you go.
But
sir,
I think it's a good movie. It's done well. Everything about it is done well. As opposed with this movie and some of the other ones are just not good movies. Regardless of what rules it chooses to ground itself in, it ain't. Some of these movies are just popcorn entertainment. Some of them are just bad movies, like Iron Man 3, Captain America, and I think Captain Winter Soldier is just an exceptionally made movie all the way around. Regardless of where it's grounded in,
I just think it's. I think it's kind of a cop out to say it's just popcorn entertainment. Popcorn entertainment can be good. I think Captain America: Winter Soldier is just popcorn entertainment.
I said that too. I said it's popcorn entertainment, but it exceeds expectations. It exceeds what it was trying to do. In my opinion,
I put it this way. That reminds me. I just bought this Chris Rock CD. It's like a compilation of his greatest hits.
And yeah, he
does this bit called where he does the bit where I'm sure you all heard where he says he hates it when I think he says black men want to take credit for shit they're supposed to do. What you want to be? Well, I expect a Marvel movie to be as good as Captain America: Winter Soldier. So I'm not going to go in there and say it exceeded my expectations. I'm going to say, yeah, that's what I expected, a good fucking movie.
But it's still your expectations.
And that's what I said. I said the same thing about Avengers. I said I went in expecting it to be good. It was good. It didn't exceed my expectations. No. I went in expecting to hate Winter Soldier and loved it. It exceeded my expectations.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, man, there you go. Avengers Age of Ultron. I think we talked that one to death. Next up for Marvel is the least talked about, Ant-Man, coming up in a couple weeks. When does that come out? Anybody know?
August something or another.
Oh, in August. Shit. All right. So, yeah, and then after that is Winter Soldier comes out. Civil War comes out next year. So, we got to tighten it up there, Marvel. It's a lot on the plate, and they still got a lot of movies they're going to do, so.
Can I add one last thing?
Yeah, sure.
If I had one wish, I wish, and it may not have been possible for logistics, budget, or development, whatever. I wish Ant-Man would have come out before Avengers, right before Avengers 2. And I wish they had done it where Hank Pym was the creator of Ultron. Because I could see either towards the end of that film or in a post-credit scene, and this is where we would have gotten a little bit more development from Ultron, where Hank Pym develops Ultron, and in that the last third of that film, and it ends on Ultron becoming sentient, and boom. Or maybe something happens in the post-credit scene where we see him start to turn evil. Then that would lead you right into Avengers 2, and you keep continuity with the books, and you have a little bit more backstory for Ultron.
All right.
You know what? Q, that's a good idea. And since the fact that they did introduce Hank Pym, he could have been the creator of Ultron instead of Tony Stark. But I guess they wanted that conflict of Tony Stark having made Ultron. I don't know. Yeah,
the problem is, though, if Ant-Man doesn't really play to the audience, then they're not going to care about Avengers, and they're not going to put anything to jeopardize that moneymaker. They're not going to tell the story. They're not care about the story that much. They care about that money, right? So they wouldn't put anything in front of Avengers that may taint it.
And I was incorrect.
Well, they put Guardians of the Galaxy in front of Avengers, and it could have flopped.
Yeah, it was last year, though. You're talking about right now, a couple months of a difference. If they switch release dates, they ain't going to do that.
I mean, the reason I know that what I'm saying is just pie in the sky is because they probably didn't even have the development for Ant-Man prior to Avengers 2.
Maybe they did, because didn't they say that guy had that script 5 years ago or something, 3 or 4 years ago, right? Whatever reason, that didn't pan out.
Well, I mean, having a script and being developed are two different things. They might not have had the budget or the anyone signed on at the time.
Okay. Well, good idea. What I'm saying is, I think I can see why they didn't, right? This movie is probably going to be one of the biggest movies of the year, and they're probably more focused on that money than they are telling us a proper story.
And real quick, I was incorrect on the release date. It's July 17th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was August.
Now, when is my favorite movie, Fantastic Four, supposed to come out?
I think that one's August. Here, I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Q, I'm about to tell you something you probably heard a lot of times. You're wrong. Fantastic Four looks like it's going to be a really good movie. Yeah, it does. It looks like a really good sci-fi movie. It's just not a true to Fantastic Four movie.
Well, that's a big problem in it, because it's called the Fantastic Four.
Well, I'm just saying, it's going to be a good, I'm telling you now, it's going to be a good movie. It's not true to the Fantastic Four.
And we'll find out on August 7th.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go around the room where you can find us. Q Stone, where can they find you online?
Oh, the bigotry of low expectations. You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can find me on Facebook as Michael Jones. You can find me on Twitter at qstorm3476. And hopefully within the next 2 or 3 months, I will be producing my first Curb Your Enthusiasm script. I've signed on actors as we speak, and I'm going to start a campaign to hopefully raise the money to shoot the entire script.
All right, good show.
All right.
I'll make sure I review it.
Overachieving-ass Negroes. Good job.
And Pooh.
Ain't no overachieving. I'm probably going to take a bath on this dude.
It's all good. And Pooh, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Pooh, as well as 401Mania.
All right. Sean Hill, where can they find you at?
All right. You can find me at hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Reviews are up of the Avengers, and got film clips and the trailer and sound bites and behind the scenes stuff, all that. Go check that stuff out on there. You can also find me on Twitter, Hill Street Views, and Facebook, Sean Hill, and Real Movie Talk.
All right. And shout out to Big Sexy and Zach. Couldn't be here today, but we want to shout him out, thinking about you. And also check us out on Facebook. Just look up Podcast Juice. Also check out the website, podcastjuice.net. Hey, we'll see you next time. Working like a job. Peace.